Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, some people think of the Bible as just a book of nice stories, some fairy tales that are put together to teach you how to live a nice life. And that's just not true. That's not true. The Bible is a book about real people dealing with real life. And if you want proof of that, just look at Mark chapter 5. It doesn't get more real than this. What we see in Mark chapter 5 is the real world. And in the real world is a world full of pain and suffering. People who are hurting, people who need the help of Jesus. Mark 5 describes for us what the real world looks like. And first of all, number one, the world is full of suffering. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at the feet of Jesus and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." I said we live in a world of suffering, and that's what Jairus is experiencing. One of the rulers of the synagogue, he is a real guy with a real name and a real job and a real family. And he comes to Jesus because of his great need. His little 12-year-old girl is sick, not just sick, dying. And he needs Jesus to come right away. But there's a crowd to get through. All sorts of people need Jesus's help. The crowds are pressing around him. Everyone needs something from Jesus, and that includes a woman who is also suffering. A woman who has been suffering for 12 years. From sickness. She has been seriously ill for 12 years. No doctor could help her. And after 12 years, she has lost everything. She has lost her health and she has lost all her money trying to get better. And none of it has worked. She literally has nothing left. Jesus, of course, stops to help her. But as he helps her, they get more bad news. The 12-year-old daughter of Jairus has died. Sadness upon sadness, grief upon grief. I mean, what kind of world do we live in where a woman suffers for 12 years and loses everything, health and her finances? What kind of world do we live in where a mother and father lose their daughter at 12 years old? We live in this kind of world, the real world. This past Thursday, hundreds of people were safe and asleep early in the morning in the beautiful condominiums in Champlain Towers in Surfside, Florida, over in Miami-Dade County. Without warning, part of that great building collapsed. For those families, their world literally crumbled around them without warning. And we have no idea how many people have died in this horrific event. No doubt a great number. Right now, 169 people are still missing. That's the world we live in, the real world, where a person can suffer for 12 years and lose everything, where parents lose their 12-year-old children, and where 12-story buildings suddenly collapse without warning. The real world is a world full of suffering, a world full of pain. It is a broken world, but it's the world we live in. This is the world. It's full of suffering. Number two, the world is full of mockery. When Jesus had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. When Jesus comes to Jairus' house to bring some hope, he is met with mocking and ridicule. The Bible's very clear about the people laughing at him, ridiculing him, mocking him. And it shouldn't surprise us because mockery is part of the world we live in. Because of sin, people love to add insult to injury. And again, everyone's injured. Everyone's playing hurt. Everyone is hurting in some way. And yet people continue to add insult to people's injuries. People love to mock and jeer and make fun of others. And it shouldn't surprise us, especially when they make fun of you and I as Christians. If they mock Jesus, of course, they're going to mock us. Jesus, of course, suffered mocking at a level no one has ever endured before or since. It was part of his own prophecy. Mark chapter 10. Jesus says, "The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him." Jesus suffered mocking, intense jeering and insults, especially right before and during his crucifixion. It starts with the Sanhedrin, the clergy of their day, the Jewish faithful leaders. Jesus is blindfolded by them, beaten by these men, and then mocked. "Prophesy! Who hit you? Can't you tell? You're a prophet." But that's not enough. And he's delivered over to the Roman guards after scourging. The guards put a purple robe on him, a crown of thorns on his head, a rod in his hand, and then kneeled down before him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking his rightful claim as the king. Then they spit on him and beat him with that staff. Matthew 27:29. And of course, once Jesus is crucified, the mocking gets even more intense. The crowd, Mark 15 tells us, hurled insults at him and mocked him. And of course, led by the chief priests and the teachers of the law, "He saved others. Let him save himself." Even the criminals mocked him. "You are the Messiah. Save yourself and us." We live in a world full of mocking, and no one has been more brutally mocked, more severely mocked than Jesus himself. Which leads us to number three. We live in a world full of suffering, of mocking, and despair. We live in a world of despair, a world of utter hopelessness. Have you sensed that? It seems to be all around us. It's the reaction of the people who come from Jairus' house. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead." Why trouble the teacher any further? Mark 5:35. "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. I mean, what could he possibly do?" It's a feeling of many today. Many people in our society are suffering, well, probably all of them. And many of them have suffered to the point of despair. They feel utterly hopeless. The reason we feel hopeless is because we feel utterly helpless. Helpless against the power of death. What's the point? Why even try? Death always wins. What's even the point of life? Why even try anymore? And we wonder if they are right. With all the tragedies, with all the sufferings in the world, with all the disasters that happen on a regular basis, is there really any reason for hope? I'm here to tell you, yes. Yes, there is. There is reason for hope. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. God sent his Son into this world to bring hope, hope to the hopeless. Jesus brings real hope for the real life, for the real world that we live in. Jesus came into this real world, this world full of suffering, the world of Mark chapter 5, and brings his mercy, his encouragement, and his hope. Jesus is full of, number one, mercy. He goes with Jairus. He is going to help him and help his daughter. Because that's what Jesus does. He always shows mercy. When the woman comes and touches him, she is instantly healed. He heals her, calls her out, and assures her that she has done nothing wrong. Daughter, your faith has healed you. 12 years of suffering is over because of the mercy of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus does. He brings healing and help to every situation he finds himself in. If someone is sick, he heals them. If someone is untouchable, he touches them. If someone is overwhelmed with guilt, he forgives them. He is full of mercy. He is full of compassion. And he is full of love. As followers of Jesus Christ, it is our mission, our duty, our privilege to bring mercy to people who are hurting. Now you might say, but Pastor, I'm not Jesus. I can't heal anyone. And I know I can't either. That is correct. We are not Jesus. We are not God. Jesus is God. We are not. You and I are human. But that doesn't mean we can't show mercy. We can show mercy. We can help. We can listen when someone needs a friend. We can hold someone's hand who is going through a difficult time. We can be there when people need us. You can do a lot more than you think. And of course, we all have the opportunity to pray. James 5 assures us, James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Isn't that a great verse? God hears our prayers, and God wants us to intercede on behalf of those who are hurting and those who are suffering. God hears our prayer, and God is a God of mercy. Jesus brings mercy wherever he goes, but he also brings something else with him. He brings encouragement. Jesus is full of encouragement. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus ignores the mockers. He is focused on Jairus. When Jairus is overwhelmed, Jesus encourages him. Do not be afraid. Just believe. He responds to mocking with encouragement. Jesus didn't mock or ridicule people. Jesus spent his time encouraging others. Everyone needs encouragement. Life is hard, really hard. And we need all the encouragement we can get. That's what Jesus spent his time doing. He encourages Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Which begs the question, believe in what? I mean, just believe. What do you mean? Well, it's the wrong question. Not what, but who. Jesus asked Jairus to put his faith in him. Trust me, Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. We talked about all the times Jesus is mocked. And of course, that mocking grew in intensity until it became, until we get to the cross. He was mocked by the Sanhedrin. He's mocked by the Roman guards. And finally, the mocking and the insults that happen at the cross. How did Jesus respond? Well, first, he responds with forgiveness. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Luke 23:34. What powerful words of forgiveness to the mockers and the insulters and those who jeered him. Instead of hearing words of hatred, they hear words of mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. The first response always is to forgive. Secondly, Jesus responds with encouragement. He encourages the one person present who needed it the most that day. One thief on the cross who understood who Jesus was and pleads with Jesus, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. Jesus replies, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. What a promise. What encouragement from the words of Jesus. Notice Jesus is not focused on himself, even in the worst situation, even as he is suffering that intense spiritual, emotional, and physical pain. His focus is on the needs of others, to forgive and to encourage. The reason Jesus endured the mocking, the reason Jesus endured the suffering on that cross, was to overcome sin and death itself. Not for himself, but for you, so that you could have everlasting life with him. And that fact brings real hope to a real world. Jesus is full of mercy. He is full of encouragement. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate source of hope. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. Remember what he told Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Trust me, Jairus. He really meant that. He enters that room with three of his disciples, that room where the girl is lying dead. He takes hold of that little girl's hand and then says two words, Talitha kum, little girl, get up. And immediately, that little girl is alive again. She wakes up. Just as easy as a dad wakes up his sleeping daughter on a Saturday, that's how easy it is for Jesus to raise the dead. Death is powerful, but Jesus is far more powerful than death. Death cannot stand up against him and against his power. He is the Lord of life. He proves that with Jairus's daughter, and he proved it with Lazarus. When Martha lost her brother Lazarus, Jesus told her, hey, Martha, your brother will rise again. Now, Martha thinks Jesus is just being polite, just being nice. I know, Lord. He will rise again at the last day. Jesus looked at Martha and says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus Christ is the Lord of life. He is the resurrection and the life. And he has overcome death for that little girl and for Lazarus. And for you. You see, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.